Good morning, everyone. Just wave a hand or a leg if you're glad to be alive. There's a few that are glad to be alive this morning. Praise God. I'm glad to be alive. I'll put two hands up in the air. More about that later. But it's always good to come back to Mount Chapel. I've been looking forward to this for some time. And it's just a great joy to look around and see some familiar faces and some new faces too. And I know that the Lord is with us and He's going to speak to us. I say us because often when I speak, I find the Lord speak to me as well. I don't know if you're a preacher and you've had that experience, but often I'm preaching and the Lord just says, "Do you know what you've just said? That applies to you too." Okay, Lord. I had that experience not too long ago. But it's just good to be together and it's good to be in the Lord's presence. Perhaps we could turn straight away to John chapter 14. And I want to come in at verse 15. And that's right in the middle of a discourse, a time of sharing that Jesus is having with his 11 disciples. He's already blown their socks off by washing their feet. That's something that they didn't expect. But he was doing that as an example. He wanted them to follow his example and to live a life serving others. And then he says all sorts of things. I won't go into it now, but you can read it. But then from verse 15. "If you love me," he says, "you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me." "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I'm going away and I'm coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come, now, let us leave. Amen. John, what time do I need to finish? Give me some idea. Okay, great. Verse 15, we read, if you love me, you will obey what I command. So here's here's Jesus talking to his disciples and saying, you know, a sign of your love will be your obedience to me. And if I had any title to this message this morning, it would be that of love and obedience. If you love me, you will obey me. It's simple, isn't it? Love and obedience. Straightforward. And I would have thought that would have been enough for the disciples to get the message. But do you know, I think Jesus understands people better than anyone. And they say that sometimes people have got to hear things 5 times before they really get the message. Have you heard that? Just in this few verses, Jesus says the same thing to them 5 times. I think by the end of it, they will say, okay, Jesus, you don't need to say it the 6th time. I've got the message. I understand what you're saying. Let's have a look. Verse 21. He says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Well, now that's the 2nd time he said it. Verse 23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. That's the 3rd time he said the same thing. And then he turns it on its head. He flips the coin, as it were, and he says, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. He's emphasizing it on the flip side. And then in verse 31, it says, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. In other words, he's saying for the 5th time, hey, this is what I've done. I've loved the Father and I've obeyed his commands. Follow my example. I'm sure they got the message. When I went through that, I thought, I can't believe, Jesus, you said the same thing 5 times. If I came this morning and said the same thing to you in just a couple of minutes, the same thing, you'd be looking at me as much as to say, John, get this guy out of here. He said it 5 times. What's going on? Jesus was underlining a point. One of the things that Rita and I have sought to do over the years is to love Jesus and try to obey his commandments. That's what we've sought to do. We've obeyed him imperfectly, to be honest. We've loved him imperfectly. But in our core being, that's what we've wanted to do. We wanted to love Jesus and obey him. And over the years, that's been quite some adventure. All sorts of highs and lows, good things and bad things, as we've sought to love and obey Jesus. And last year, 2011, was perhaps the biggest adventure that we've ever been on, seeking to love and obey Jesus. I think many of you know that when I was last here, which was probably February, March 2011, I'd been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And at the time, they were saying I had between 2 and 5 years to live. I guess now it's somewhere between 9 months and 3.5 years to live, according to the doctors. That's not the sort of adventure I was looking for in following Jesus. It was like, whoa, hang on a minute, what's going on here?
But that was only the start of the adventure. We had all sorts of things happen in 2011. One of them was that in July, Rita got really, really sick. And so much so that in the middle of the night, I had to take her to hospital. She had some sort of infection, and the the antibiotics weren't working, and she was in hospital for a week. And the only time she began to get better was when they got the results back from a test and found that it was just one certain antibiotic that was going to deal with the infection. And so she was in hospital, and she came back and took a while to recover. And I can remember it well, because on the 26th of July, she woke up and she said, "David, I feel like I'm back to normal." Praise God. Little did we know what was about to happen. Because that evening, when we were on Skype to our daughter in Canada, I just fell back into the chair and said, "Rita, I feel really unwell." She immediately phoned the ambulance, and on the way to the hospital, my heart stopped, she reckons, for about 4 minutes, and the paramedic was desperately trying to revive me. She managed to do that before we got to hospital, and then once I was in A&E, my heart stopped again, and they managed to get my heart going again, and then for 6 days I hung between life and death. And on one occasion, about 3 days in to the intensive care period, they called the family in and said, "David's not going to make it. We're pretty sure he's going to die. You better come and say your goodbyes." And so they did that. Well, I didn't die. Just in case you were wondering, I didn't die. And actually, I came to after 6 days. It was the weirdest experience out. Somebody said to me, "Do you know that it's now 6 days later?" And I just couldn't believe it. It was like, wow. I began to make a good recovery. In fact, I was out of the hospital within 3 weeks, and the doctor said, "Do you know what? You've made a remarkable recovery." In fact, I've had a few doctors tell me I shouldn't have survived the blood clot that I had. It was a massive blood clot, and most people don't survive. But I did. And I praise God for that and for his goodness. And since that time, what's happened? Well, the recovery has enabled us to be involved in our work, particularly into North Africa. We've been to Spain 3 times since then, just come back from a conference there. We've been to Madeira. That was holiday. That was very nice. We've been to Denmark. We spoke at a conference in Denmark, and we're just getting on with life, and I praise God for that. He's so good. And I don't know about the future. The doctors have their prognosis. Well, they can have that, but I'm expecting Dr. Jesus to give me many more years. Other people have defied doctors' prognosis. I've got a feeling I might be one of those too. Because you see, I believe that Jesus kept me here for a reason. And we've got a sense of what God wants us to do. And we want to get on and do it with all the energy that we've got. So that's where we're up to at the moment. And there's three things, really, that I can talk about now. Many things, I guess, but three things that I'm absolutely clear on from what we've been through. And the first thing is, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. I know that many of you here at Mount Chapel were praying. Thank you so much. I say that from the bottom of my heart. In the end, I had hundreds and hundreds of people praying for me. John was kept fully informed. I know, I think he kept the church informed. Folks, thank you for praying. It's one of the things I've been looking forward to do, just to come. And for all those who prayed, just say thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm a living example of your answer to prayer. Praise God. Who believes God answers prayer? I do. I could tell you story after story of where I've seen God answer prayer. We've got a great God, haven't we? We've got a faithful God. He's a God of great love and compassion. And I love Jesus. And I hope you do too. And loving Jesus doesn't mean to say that things are always going to go well for you. You know, sometimes I think because we're Christians, we feel that we're immune from some of the problems of life. Folks, we're not. I meet all sorts of people and I hear their story and I hear the suffering they've gone through and I hear the agony of heart and I see the disappointment in their eyes and I think, do you know what? I wish I could do something for you. All I can say is, God knows. He cares. He understands. He loves you deeply. And He will be the one, your greatest friend, who will walk with you through that difficult time. Just hang on to Him. Just keep looking to Him. Just keep loving Him. Because He's the one who will take us through. And I think, perhaps, you know, today I shared my testimony and others could say, yeah, you know, last year or a few years ago wasn't a great year for me. I've had my struggles. But as God is seeing me through, I believe He will see you through. And the very worst that can happen is that the Lord says, it's time to come home for your reward. That's the very worst that can happen. I face death. And in one sense, I just think, when it's my time, the Lord will take me. But I don't believe I will go until I've finished the work that He's got for me. You see, the second thing I believe in is the power of destiny. We all have a calling upon our lives. We're all here to serve His purposes. And I trust that your heart is to serve the purposes of God to the best of your ability. You know, your calling might be, you know, raising a godly family, being an influence with your workmates, being salt and light in the community, serving in the church. But God has a calling on each one of us. And it's knowing what that is. And it's doing that to the best of our ability. I know that Rita and I have a calling upon our lives. Ours has been missionaries. Doesn't mean we're special, it just means that's the way the Lord's led us. And there is still work for us to do. I think I might have shared it last time, but when we returned from Spain in 2010, I was 65 at the time, and people thought that we were retiring. We'd come back to England to retire. A lot of people go to Spain to retire. Here was us coming back from Spain. And we jumped on that as soon as we began to pick that up. And we said, no, we are not retiring missionaries. We are returning missionaries. How can you retire from the kingdom of God, from his purposes? You can't. You continue in his purposes until he says the work is finished. You remember Jesus? Many times the Pharisees would have liked to kill Jesus. They couldn't until he'd finished his work. And he said on the cross, it is finished. That's why he could sleep in a boat when the disciples were terrified out of their minds. He knew that he wasn't going to drown. That wasn't the way he was going to go. No wonder he could sleep in the boat. He knew that he was going to die for all mankind. Same with Peter. I was just looking at that recently. I think it's Acts 12. Peter was in prison between two soldiers, and he had to face the governor the next day. Quite a few Christians had been killed, and it seemed like this could have been Peter's turn. But he was asleep. How could he be asleep? Well, maybe it's because in John 21 we read, Jesus said to Peter, as they were having breakfast on the seashore, when you are old, people will take you where you don't want to go. When you are old. Peter was still a relatively young man in prison, and it's almost like he said, well, Jesus said, when I'm old. So I don't know how this is going to work out, but my life's going to be preserved because it's not time. When you've got that in your spirit, when you know something like that, he could sleep. And of course, the gates flew open and the angel let him out. We're people with a calling upon our lives. I hope you understand that. I hope you're following the purposes of God in love and obedience. And maybe it's just to influence your neighbours around you. Maybe it's inviting people to church. It's being salt and light in the community. That's what it is. I heard of a story, and I just felt I should share it for some reason, of a teenage boy who loved Jesus dearly. And he had a science teacher that hated him. Because he believed in God. I think the teacher was an atheist. And he'd actually, I think, won one or two of his school friends to the Lord. But during this particular year, the science teacher undermined his faith, undermined and dismissed God, talking about creation and how the world came about, and how Genesis couldn't possibly be true. And I think most of those who won to the Lord fell away from their faith. But he stood firm. Well, it came to the very last class of the year, and the school teacher decided he'd really bring things to a head. So he said, do you know, class, you know that we'll call him Johnny, believes in God, he believes in creation, and the way the world came around. I've explained to you that couldn't possibly be true. And but I just want to show you today that there is no God. I want to prove conclusively to you today. So he goes and he opens the desk drawer and he pulls out an egg. And he says, class, I'm going to give this egg to Johnny. And I want him to drop it. If it bounces, hey, I and you too, you know, can believe in God. If it breaks, then that's proof that there's no God. So Johnny comes up, just a young teenager, And he says, before you give me the egg, he says, I want to say something. He says, you've ridiculed my faith and my God all these months over the year. And he says, I know that God is real. And then it's almost like the Spirit of God came upon him. He says, when you give me the egg, I'm going to drop it. And I pray and believe that the egg is going to smash into millions of pieces. But when it does, I'm going to pray that you drop down dead. Whoa. This was a real clash of two kingdoms. And at that time, the fear of God came upon that teacher. And he looked at the egg, and he looked at Johnny. He looked at the egg again, and he looked at Johnny, and he decided not to take the risk. And he walked back to the drawer. He put the egg in the drawer and shut it and walked out of the classroom amidst the cheers of Johnny's schoolmates. See, here was somebody who wasn't going to be robbed of his calling. He went on and he was a very successful Christian musician in America, influencing the lives of thousands of young people. He could have been, at that time, diverted from his calling. He could have given up on his faith. He could have gone with the crowd, gone with the flow. But he knew that God had created him for a purpose, and he wanted to fulfill the purpose that was in his life, or on his life. I think the third thing that I've learned is in a greater way, and it's all of these things in a greater way, is the power of the word. This book is powerful, isn't it? It really is powerful. As we were in the ambulance and my heart had stopped, and you know, that 6 days for me, I was sleeping through it, basically. I didn't realise the trauma that Rita and the family were going through. That was really, really hard for them. I just woke up and thought, hey, what's all the fuss about? Not quite, but, you know, it was a bit like that. But she said, when my heart had stopped, she said, Lord, your word said, you gave me this word that said, this sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God, that God's Son might be glorified through it. Your word says. And one of the things that I've been doing over the months, over the last 18 months, is I've been confessing out the word of God. I've been careful not to allow any negative thing come out of my mouth about my health and about others. I've kept a guard on my mouth because I realise my words are so powerful. I think there are people that talk themselves to death. I really do, by just what they say. Proverbs 21 verse 18, it says this, life and death are in the power of the tongue. How are we doing in what we're saying? What I'm doing is I'm confessing out the word of God, and I'm saying, Lord, this is what you say. I'm aligning myself with you, and I'm saying the same thing that you're saying. I refuse to say the things that the devil would put in my mind to say. I'm not having it. I'm aligning myself with you. You've said, this sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God. That's what you said. I believe that. Psalm 91, verse 15, I think it is, the Lord said, I will deliver you and honour you. With long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. I'm speaking that out. That's what the Lord's saying. I'm identifying with him. Most days I speak that out. I'm speaking out the word of God because I know it's powerful. In Isaiah 43, the Lord gave me a verse and it says, you will look for your enemies and you will not find them. Those who oppose you will be as nothing at all. Do you know what I think that relates to? I've got a feeling, and I've got a CT scan coming up in August. I've got a feeling there's going to be one scan where the doctor's going to call me and he's going to say, do you know what, I don't understand this. Here's the previous scan. Here's the latest scan. I'm looking for the cancer and I can't find it. It's gone. You know, you shall look for your enemies, and cancer's an enemy, and you will not find it. Those who oppose you will be nothing at all. So those three things, for me, I see as really powerful. You see, what I want to do is to make God's word my experience. Do you understand that? Not my experience, my word. And it would be so easy to go into a downward spiral. A pity party. Who likes pity parties? I think we all do at times because we tend to go there and have a bit of a pity party. Well, I refuse to go down that road. I'm not having a pity party. I'm having a celebration party. Because Jesus is alive. And so, I'm identifying with the Lord. I think our words are powerful. Do you know what? Excuse me. I think it's very interesting that two of the things that have come to me very strongly is the importance and power of prayer and the importance of the Word of God. What do we find attacked in our Christian lives? Our time of prayer and our time in the Word. And it's said over and over again, if we're going to really thrive as Christians, we need to spend time with the Lord in prayer. We need to spend time with the Lord in the Word. And we get all fired up and say, oh, I just must do that. And then after a while we think, do you know what? That's got pushed out again. It's not got the importance that it should have. And it's because the enemy knows how powerful those two things are. And if he can stop us in any way, and busyness is often one of those ways, tiredness is another. If he can stop us in any way, he will. And I just want to encourage you, stay in the Word. Keep praying. Don't let the enemy rob you. Do you know, one of the things that it says here in verse 25, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the counsel of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I feel that the Holy Spirit reminded me of something this week, and I've just started to do it. You know, and Rita will back me up on this, and I may have shared this before, but when I've had a cold come on, I've stood against it. And instead of saying, oh dear, I've got a cold coming on, you know, and expecting that, I've actually said, I refuse this cold in the name of Jesus. thank you, Jesus, I'm just getting over this cold. And then I speak the scripture, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Go your way, your faith has made you whole. We heard it today, by his stripes you are healed. I am healed. And so I've been speaking that out and declaring the truth. And you know what? Time and time again, the cold would actually do a U-turn. It did. It did a U-turn. And I didn't have it. Why? Because in my spirit I was refusing to have it. And I was confessing out the word. And you might think that's strange, but it worked for me. It's speaking out the word of God. It's the power of the word. So the Lord reminded me of that. As you can see, I've got a cough at the moment. And I'm sorry about that. It's not infectious. You're not all going to go home with coughs because the preacher's been coughing over you. It's to do with the lung cancer. But the Lord said, do you know what, David? You believed when you prayed against and refused to have the cold that it would go. You had faith for that. I think that's the key. I had faith for it. And it went. And so this week the Lord said, do you know, I wonder if it will work for a cough, David. You know, coughs and colds. And I thought, wow. Hey, it's worth a try. So I just began now to say the same thing. Say, Lord, it's worked for a cold. I pray it will work for the cough. And so I've just started to say, Lord, thank you. I'm just getting over this cough. Thank you, it's on the way out. By your stripes I am healed. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Go your way, your faith has made you whole. And so I started to do that. Be interesting to see what will happen. You see, I'm not, Rita will tell you, I'm not one of these people, you know, when these things happen, lie down and die. I'm a fighter. And I refuse to allow the enemy to stop me in God's calling upon my life. And I know he'd like to. See, I'm not sure I want this tape to go out. But we're involved in North Africa. God's doing great things in North Africa. We've just taken a sort of a grandparenting role for our 80 workers there. They're heroes. And, you know, at the conference we felt we were walking amongst heroes. People who are going through all sorts of challenges, working in a very difficult environment. Sometimes physically very hot, sometimes spiritually, but they're going through very difficult situations. But so often I look at them and they're doing it with such great joy because they're doing what God called them to do. And our role is to get alongside them and to support them. A sort of grandparenting role, if you like. We've got 4 grandchildren now. Very excited about that. But it's a grandparenting role. It's getting alongside them, encouraging, supporting, praying with them, listening to them, counselling them, spurring them on in the work that they're involved in. And we talk to the Lord and we're looking in the next few years to go to Mauritania and Morocco and Algeria and Tunisia and Libya and Mali, Niger rather, and Chad. And we want to go and just support our workers there. You might say, David, you're crazy. Well, that's just what we feel. And we're looking forward to the Lord opening things up and allowing us to do those things. That's what we believe the Lord has for us. So, in conclusion, I think one of the things that has amazed us really, and it's just here, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. In this adventure that God's taken us on, the peace of God has been absolutely incredible. When we heard of the terminal condition I was facing, we were a little bit quiet and somber for a few hours. And it really was a few hours. And then we prayed and we said, our lives, Lord, are in your hands. And since then, we've known the peace of God. It's like we've looked at the word, that's what God says. That has been our experience. And we praise God for that. That's the grace of God upon our lives. We know that. We've known a lot of the grace of God upon our lives. He does give us peace. The Lord is good, isn't he? I just pray that something of the testimony, and it has been a little bit of a testimony this morning, I pray that different parts would have spoken to you. But let me just recap, love and obedience, that's what the Lord's looking for us. He loves us so much. It's love and obedience. The importance of prayer. Thank you for praying. The importance of destiny. The calling that's upon our lives. And we all have a calling upon our lives. And the importance of the Word of God. Let's pray together. Felt that there was somebody here who really the enemy was having a really strong attack on their lives, almost to the point where you're wondering, is it worth continuing as a Christian? If that's you, I'd love to pray for you at the end of the meeting. Because the enemy wants to rob you of your calling and your inheritance. I felt there was somebody here that was, none of us perhaps like thunderstorms, but somebody here gets very, very frightened in thunderstorms. Again, if that's you, I'd like to pray for you, because there's some fear there that shouldn't be there. And the Lord doesn't want us to walk in fear. Somebody else was afraid of getting skin cancer. Maybe other family members have had it. And there's a sort of a fear in the background, in the back of one's mind. It's like, I really hope I don't get that. We can pray and deal with that. Set you free from that sort of fear. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, I talked about your faithfulness this morning to me, to Rita. Lord, there's many here that could get up and share a similar story. It would be different, but the end result would be the same, the faithfulness of God. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. to each one of us. Thank you that we're alive. Thank you that you love us so, so much. Help us, Lord, to keep pressing into you, to not to give up, to stand firm. Help us, Lord, to be people who continually give you the glory. For all that you're doing, Lord, we give you the glory. That I'm able to stand here today, Lord, I give you the glory for that. Thank you so much. We just love you and appreciate you so much, Lord. And we just commit one another to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.